part of the presentation today is not just to talk about the standards, but the whole realm of standards. And part of developing a standard is not just to identify the test methods and test the performance requirements that are articulated, but it's also to ensure that, as Gordon pointed out, that all the tests are accurate and valid, and that the labs that are performing those tests have the ability and have been tested or certified to run those tests. So you want to make sure that it's a balanced playing field out there. When you develop a standard, you got to have it tested. At the end of the process, so part of what NIJ has done is not only introduce development of standard, we also develop the certification requirements that accompany the standard to make sure that it's tested adequately and accurately. In addition to that, the last and third piece of this stool for us is development of what we call the selection application guide. And that guide actually identifies in layman's terms what the standard does so that the practitioner on the street can read that particular document and understand the standard. So we have a three-pronged approach, and so this is how this entire panel starts to fit together. Our second presenter today is Philip Mattson. Phil is Deputy Director for the Office of Standards in the Test and Evaluation Standards Division at the Department of Homeland Security, Science and Technology Directorate. He previously served as the Program Manager for Critical Incident Technologies at the Office of Law Enforcement Standards at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Phil received his extensive training in nuclear weapons and radiological incident management and is a registered professional engineer. He is a retired Army officer serving for 20 years as a nuclear physicist in the Corps of Engineers. He has a bachelor's degree in nuclear engineering and from Oregon State University and a master's degree in physics and the Naval Postgraduate School. Phil worked on the CBRN STC and has been working at NIST and has been a very valuable colleague in the development of standards. Phil?
I'm going to give a brief overview of the Office of Standards at DHS S&T with a little bit of emphasis on PPE-related things and then how it relates to this panel in NIJ. As Deborah said, I've been working with NIJ ever since I got out of Leavenworth in 2001. I came to I was there. I was at Leavenworth and went to the Office of Law Enforcement Standards. So the rest is, over a beer. Actually, I was in a little house. I wasn't in the big house. I didn't have any roommates. DHS standards. DHS is not a regulatory agency. DHS is not a standard-setting agency. We do have some legacy programs, such as Coast Guard, which maintains marine safety equipment standards and so on. Under the National Technology Transfer and Advancement Act that Gordon mentioned, that directs that agencies make maximum use of voluntary consensus standards organizations to develop their standards as opposed to developing government-unique standards. And we have been working with NIST and with voluntary standards organizations and a number of other agencies since DHS was established to work through our standards programs. We work through the ANSI Homeland Security Standards Panel. We'll talk about that in a second. And through internal and interagency standards bodies. We lead the adoption of standards for Homeland Security. The main hook on that is having those adopted standards tied to DHS grants. So if you're buying a piece of equipment that we have identified a standard for, then it needs to meet that standard in order to be eligible for grant funding. And that actually is how we got into the STC and NIJ's development of the CBRN Ensemble for Law Enforcement. We had adopted some standards in 2004. At the time, there weren't and they were the best standards of the day at the time, but there were some concerns on the part of the law enforcement community that some of their specific operational requirements were not addressed. Since that time, a number of the NFPA standards have also evolved to include CBRN protection aspects within the standard, within the 1971, 1951, 1999 standards. There are optional CBRN protection in those standards so that those standards support not only the operational requirements but the protection. through a lot of discussions involving NIJ, NFPA, the IAB, DHS, NIST, basically, all of us here at the panel, the determination was made and the STC was set up to develop the law enforcement standard. We don't promulgate standards. We don't regulate compliance. We don't certify products. We don't maintain qualified product lists within the Office of Standards. There are other components within DHS that do that. We have developed an internal document which outlines how we relate to and participate in voluntary consensus standards organizations. ANSI Homeland Security Standards Panel, HSSP. Gordon is the federal chair of the HSSP. ANSI stood up this body to help coordinate standards development for Homeland Security needs. There's how many SDOs, Gordon?
650.
Okay. Various, are these ANSI accredited SDOs?
About 250.
Okay, there we go. Somewhere in there. A number of SDOs. Some countries have one standards body. We don't. ANSI set up the HSSP to help us identify standards requirements. ANSI has held a number of focused workshops to kind of pull these things out and articulate them. And also it's a place that we can go to say, okay, we need a standard for X, Y, Z. Where's a good place to go to help us with that? We work with a number of standards bodies, depending on the type of standard that we're working with. Developing, it drives us to the specific body. In some cases, we'll start a project and not know exactly which SDO to work with. Again, that's where ANSI comes in, or we go through other mechanisms to identify the appropriate SDO. Now, why standards? This is probably speaking to the choir here, but you've got the WhizBang 1000 here that will do everything, and this brochure is a little bit out of date because it will also brush your teeth and tie your shoes. But when you're buying something and you're using it, expecting it to perform, you have some basic fundamental questions like, does it work? Does it really answer the questions that I'm asking? How do I test it? Has it been tested? How do I use it? Will it work with my other things? I have this great thing, but guess what? When I turn it on, my radio doesn't work. Or when I turn on my radio, my detector doesn't work. And if there's a number of these products that are out there, how do I determine which is the best one? And so that's where the wonderful world of standards comes in. We affectionately call this the cycle of life, where it goes from, what are the requirements? What is this thing supposed to do? Who's using it? What are the conditions that it is going to be operating under? Which leads us to determine what are the specific performance requirements. It's supposed to detect this agent, this concentration, under these conditions. That's what it's supposed to do. We then need to develop the test methods, the testing protocols. What tests do we do to make sure that it does what we want it to do based on what we need it to do? And then completing it, we need to validate those test methods. And then establish the appropriate type of conformity assessment program for the product. Deborah mentioned it, and again, Gordon. Depending on the type of product, the process is the same, but who does it and exactly what we do differs quite a bit. In some cases, such in the area of respiratory protection, NIOSH does the certifying for it. In other products, such as a lot of the NFPA standards, those are certified by organizations such as Underwriters Lab and Safety Equipment Institute and so on. NIJ has developed their conformity assessment program. Depending on the product, if we had a standard for, combination laser pointer and USB memory sticks, there are standards that are out there for that, but, if it doesn't work, then I throw it away and point to the screen. Nobody's going to die. Except from boredom. There's really no standard term definition for standards. In DHS S&T, where I'm from, we develop technologies for Homeland Security and the Homeland Security enterprise. This is the way the Department of Defense slices and dices technology development from basic research and development, understanding the basic phenomenon. Why do you die when you breathe this kind of thing? All the way up to having a product that is ready to go out the door and be used by somebody. We have three different portfolios within S&T that look to doing the basic research, understanding the phenomenon, innovation, which is taking that understanding and developing a product which is ready to go out and be tested in an operational environment, to transition, which is getting it out the door. And then there's a whole suite of types of standards that come into play, you know, throughout this entire spectrum. And that's where we come in, working with the program managers, working with the standards bodies, working with the organizations that we fund to support this, to make sure that we have the right people doing the right piece of this. And again, there's going to be different people, different standards organizations, different groups doing these different pieces of the puzzle to support this overall program. Another way of looking at it, and this is more from an operational perspective, you know, the National Bomb Squad Commanders Advisory Board, NABSCAB, they drank the Kool-Aid, and they're very excited about standards. And this is, you know, the way standards fit into, you know, is what they call the goal-oriented strategic planning, where, you know, we have a need, you know, vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices, and, you know, we need to have some way of defeating those. And these are the basic steps that they work through to dissect it. And then there's a number of areas where different types of standards come in, you know, developing the requirements, as we mentioned earlier, you know, to the testing programs, the developing the tactics, techniques, and procedures, training development, CONOPS, and standards to support that. The other thing is, you know, what can we do? You know, people come and ask, you know, how long is it going to take to do this standard? And a lot of it is a function of how mature is the technology, you know, how robust are the existing standards and test methods that are out there, and so on. If you know, we go back two slides, you know, where we had the TRL levels, you know, if we're just building, if we're just starting the development of a new technology, there may not be any standards associated with that, and so we're going to have to work with those program managers to develop the standards and test methods in support of that. If it's something that is already out there and we need to modify it, then we can do it in a much shorter time, especially if there are existing standards and test methods. So that's another piece where we come in there. If there's an issue with an existing standard, or we want this standard to do something that initially wasn't, you know, envisioned to do, we work with the SDO to make those modifications. We have a number of projects within our standards portfolio, from protective equipment, robots, explosive chemical detection, biometrics, biological detection, incident management standards, and we work with a number of SDOs. PPE covers a number of disciplines. From fire service, law enforcement, and so on. And there are standards that are being developed, or in cases there are now standards for all of these ensembles. Within DHS, you know, we have a number of issues that require standards development. We have our programs. We support the R&D and technology development efforts. We support the grants programs by identifying the appropriate standards, or if there aren't any standards, to develop new standards so they can be reflected in the grants. And a number of Homeland Security presidential directives have directed and have standards implications. From a DHS perspective, just focused on PPE, here's just a quick snapshot of a number of areas where PPE is important and where PPE standards are important from a DHS perspective. And there have been a number of existing standards, you know, the NFPA standards, especially in support of the fire administration, are already used, and we have adopted a number of the NFPA standards in support of the grants programs. Just a couple of things. You know, there's a number of standards and these are not all. This is not all inclusive, and not ones that we're all funding, and so on. But NIOSH is continuing to work on the expanding suite of CBRN respiratory protection standards. NIJ also, in addition to working on the law enforcement standard, is also in the process of finalizing bomb suit standard. And then NIOSH, you know, through ASTM is working on an air-fed suit. And there's a number of studies that are going on to develop revised test methods and understanding more appropriate endpoints for some of the toxic industrial chemicals, which will be reflected in the standards. And the benefits of an integrated CBRNE standards development: greater safety, more effective technologies. If a lot of cases where we don't have standards, and the manufacturers are building things to the best of their understanding, that's great. But once we set that standard, we're now setting the performance bar. And when a manufacturer can demonstrate that they meet that standard, or they can demonstrate that they exceed that, then that gives them a little added incentive and a little boost in the marketplace. Working to develop standards in anticipation of new requirements. Traditionally, standards have been developed after something bad happens. Equipment fails, somebody gets hurt, somebody gets killed. Okay, well, we need to fix that. We're going to develop standards and test methods and a testing program to support that. In this area, with emerging threats or responders facing things that we, you know, haven't faced yet, we're trying to get ahead of the power curve by developing those standards before something bad happens, so that you can go into the incident with some relative level of assurance that your equipment is going to perform. We've talked a lot about the basic, you know, performance standards, conformity assessment, test and evaluation, you know, kind of the documentary standard for a piece of equipment, and that's very important. But there's another piece of it, too. You know, this equipment has certain capabilities and limitations. It's going to allow you to do something different, do something better. And so it is very important that that capability then gets articulated and put into the training base, you know, through curriculum development, you know, equipment-specific training, and so on, so that you know how to use this new capability that you have been provided. And then finally, okay, I have this thing, I have been trained how to use it, but then how do you take this capability and put it into your concept of operations so that you are actually going to go out there and be able to do something better in an integrated and coherent fashion, not only with your organization, but with the others that are going to be responding to the incident. And this is all standards related. Yeah, but it's a little bit, you know, beyond, you know, your typical, you know, ASTM E2411 standard. And I believe that is it.
Our next speaker today, thanks, Phil, by the way. Before we move on to Bill, I just want to mention that you saw one of Phil's slides, and it had all those logos on it. It had NIOSH and CDC and NIST and NIJ and ASTM and all these different standard organizations. This is the round that NIJ functions when it comes to development of standards. But NIJ's role is very, very small. And about 6 years ago, we looked at all those other agencies and we said, how are they developing standards? Because NIJ pretty much developed standards in-house, and we did it our own way. And what we wanted to do is look at the rest of the world and say, how are you developing standards? And let's develop our process and remake it and look more like the rest of the world and become more of a consensus standard development agency. And so that's what we've done in the development of standards with the ST special technical committees that we have now. So we're now more like the rest of the world, and it feels good. And lastly, standards are very exciting to us and some of the people in here. And one of the pieces that is so exciting is the fact that, as you saw up here, we look at electronic monitoring devices, CBRN, SCBAs, self-contained breathing apparatuses, holsters, restraints, biochemicals. We look at so many different types of technologies as long as it deals with the standard, and that is such a huge form to be exposed to. I mean, we can be looking at anything on any given day, and that to us is just extremely exciting.